Today we're going to think about the section of the Psalm 119 that is called Resh. This begins at the verse 153. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy law. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. We know that God will bless his word to our hearts. This section of the Psalm 119 that is called Resh, the Hebrew character Resh, which forms the title, it signifies the head or the beginning. And you might say, what is the connection between the head or the beginning? Well, let me put it another way. What is the connection between the head and the first? Sometimes we use the word first in the English language to denote first in terms of time sequence. But on other occasions, we use the word first to indicate the one who is at the head, the one who has priority. And so it is here in the Psalm 119. The word Resh signifies the head, but it also signifies the beginning. And the beginning means in Hebrew and also classical Greek usage, the one who is at the head, the one who has priority. And what is it that should have priority in our lives? What is it that should be at the very head of all of our lives? It is the Word of God. Therefore, in the verse 160, the psalmist writes something which really is the key that unlocks the meaning of this section. Thy word is true from the beginning. God's word has always been true. The Lord Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. So God's word is more endurable than time itself. The universe will fade away, but God's word will remain the same. And the reason why God's word is so powerful and so potent is because it is true. God's word is absolutely true. There are no lies in God's word. There are no discrepancies in God's word. There are no inconsistencies in God's word. If you think there is an inconsistency in scripture, well, you write to me and you state your case, you state your perception. I know that some people have discovered what they believe to be inaccuracies in the Bible. Well, you show me what you mean, and I will seek to respond and answer, because I want to say this to you. God's word is pure. It's pure. And God's word is true. The Lord Jesus Christ said, thy word is truth. This is the very word of God. The scriptures have proceeded from God himself, and he has inspired the writers to pen the words. Therefore, every fact in the Bible is true. Every aspect of teaching in the Bible is true. One of the fundamental teachings in the Bible is that we are sinners, that we have inherited sin from our father Adam. On account of our sin, we are guilty. We have fallen short of God's law. We are answerable to him because we are his creatures. And because we are answerable to him and because we are guilty, we are deserving of his judgment. And that judgment will take place in hell, which he has created for punishing sin for all eternity. Another fundamental part of Bible teaching is Christ. God loved the world. He wanted to save men and women from their sin. Therefore, he sent Christ to pay the price of our salvation. And he came into this world as a little child. He lived and he died and he rose again. These facts are fundamental. Take away the fact of Christ's life and the fact of Christ's resurrection, the Bible has absolutely no meaning. The Bible is a fraud. If there never was a man called Jesus who rose again, the Bible is untrue. But we believe the facts of the New Testament. We believe the facts of the Gospels. And the Gospel record itself records who the witnesses were, who they were. And the Gospel record was written in the very lifetime of the people who saw, who could say, yes, we saw him. We saw him after the resurrection. We saw that stone was rolled away. We saw the grave clothes lying there. Yes, Jesus Christ is alive. He rose again. This is the cornerstone of Christianity. Christianity has endured for thousands of years because of the fact that can be attested and proved. that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is also the one who is at the head or the beginning. In the book of Colossians, Paul described him as the head, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. The Apostle Paul said in all things he must have the preeminence. The Apostle John, in the book of Revelation, he said he is the Alpha and Omega, and the Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. He is the first and the last. He's every other letter in between. He was at the beginning of time. He will be at the end of time. He was there when the heavens and the earth were created. In fact, without him wasn't anything made that was made, John records. And his coming again will wind up this present order of things, as the heavens will be dissolved with a fervent heat and the earth will be burned with fire and the wicked will be sent away into everlasting burnings, and the saved will be resurrected and given a glorious form, and they will inhabit the new heaven and the new earth, a paradise with Christ forever. Yes, Christ is the first and the last. There's no one more important than him. Therefore, the scriptures, they should be at the top of our list of priorities, because the scripture shows us the person who is at the head, and this person is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And at the heart of everything Christ came to do was his redemptive work. And what do I mean by that? Well, in the verse 153, the psalmist writes, "Consider mine affliction and deliver me." Deliver me. The word deliver here is the word gal, which means redeem. Redeem me. When a person is redeemed, they need to be set free. But they can only be set free by the payment of a price. We are in bondage to our sins. Has man a free will? No, he has not. We do not have a free will. Our will is depraved. It is bound. It is enslaved by sin. We need to be emancipated, set free. Christ can only do that. He can only liberate the will of man. But to liberate the will of man, he has to deal with the question of our sin. And he has to pay the price of our redemption. And that meant Christ taking upon himself our pain, our wrath, our curse, our guilt. And this he did at the cross. And he shed the precious blood as the price of our redemption. Yes, the scripture shows us Christ, how we can be set free from our sin. Yes, Christ is at the head. Christ alone can give us hope. And the message of the Bible is a message of hope. That's why it is so important. All other books deal with material things or deal with philosophical things. They teach us facts about history. They teach us learning about the present. They teach us science. They entertain us with novels. But only the Bible deals with eternal realities. Mankind has a soul bequeathed as a spiritual treasure by the Creator. The soul will live forever. Whenever your soul is in hell, dear friend, whatever your soul is in hell, there'll be no going back. There'll be no going back. There will be no hope. But yet there is hope today, because you have a Bible and you're hearing the message being taught. You need to be born again. There is a man called Jesus who loves you and died for you and rose again for you. There's hope through him. "I am come," he said, "that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Abundant life found in Christ alone. What will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you take the message of the Bible seriously? This is the book that deals with your eternal destiny, my eternal destiny. This is the book that gives this world alone hope. Will you put your faith in Christ today? Trust him. Find new life in him. I thank you so much for listening.